is the hard thing about having a podcast about records. There's like, I feel burdened with nostalgia pretty much all the time.
Welcome to Living in Hi-Fi. I'm Steve.
And I'm Flissy. This is a podcast about records. Today's album is At the Organ Grinder, Volume 1, an independent release from the mid-1970s.
So I picked this record up from a local record store called Record Tape Traders, and apparently this cost me a quarter. So this is, I don't even know how to describe. I mean, it's, you know, it's an independent release. It's about a pizza restaurant in Portland, Oregon, and is pretty kitschy. It was definitely in their budget section.
Okay, I'll tell you a little bit about what the album cover looks like. It is a collage of restaurant photos. It has the picture of the sign of the Organ Grinder Pizza. It's a, like a big lit up sign. And then it has some pictures of the interior, a guy sitting at the organ, people eating pizza. This is a gift shop, which makes me think, I don't know that there was a skee ball there, but I'm like, this is the kind of place that has a skee ball inside. So my question is to you, why'd you buy this album?
I don't know. I mean, I'm flipping through the dollar record section at Record and Tape Traders, and they have a bunch of, you know, they have Rick Astley, which I think I also picked up there, and, you know, like a bunch of R&B 12-inch singles and, you know, a bunch of stuff you never heard of. And then there's At the Organ Grinder, and it just, you know, like, I don't know, it just kind of caught my eye and seemed interesting. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I mean, for a quarter, it was pretty low risk. So
I guess that's true.
I thought I'd take it home and see what it was all about. So, yeah, the back of this album is kind of interesting. I mean, I guess they have a pretty interesting looking logo. So it was of a gentleman with a large mustache with a, you know, a hand organ and a picture of a monkey. And it's got the track listing and the four organists who I guess participated in this recording. And I think we should, you know, recognize them because I think that, you know, they did some pretty outstanding work here. So the album, the organists are Paul Carino, David Lee, Jonas Nordwall, and Don Simmons. And it is interesting. I mean, it has a little bio of each of these organists on there. But I think that it really comes through in their playing. I mean, their playing style, I think, really, you know, really matches what is said about them in their bio. So it's, I think it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty cool that there is four different organists on the album. And it's, they're really have, each have a unique sound and a unique style of playing. So it's cool to have, you know, it's obviously the same organ setup and different music choices, different ways of playing between the four artists. So that's cool.
So let's take a listen to our first clip. Flissy, this is your clip. What did you pick?
So last episode, I mentioned that it really, That was only the beginning of Disney references, and there is a Disney medley on this album, so I felt obligated to choose this as my clip. It's a medley of Zippity Doo-Dah, which you might remember from the Song of the South movie, which actually wasn't in really wide release, but the songs are still super famous from that movie, even though the movie itself has fallen by the wayside because it's has some pretty problematic racial stereotypes in there.
Yeah.
So it's a medley of Zippity Doo-Dah and, of course, the classic It's a Small World. So those are both Sherman Brothers songs, and the organist for this one is Paul Carino.
So let's take a listen.
Thank you.
All right, so what do you think?
I really liked Paul Carino's playing. There is, before this, there is a version of the song from 2001 and a medley of some sort of vaudeville popular jazz tunes. And in Paul Carino's playing, I hear a lot of versatility, but also the sort of this kind of classic pop jazz vaudeville sound. And my absolute favorite part of this track is the rousing finale of It's a Small World. Like the snare drums, it like gets all wound up again. It's awesome. So I really love that like over the top finale of The Small World. But also in the context of the entirety of this album, it's kind of creepy. Like the album starts with the soundtrack, with that 2001 song, and then there's the theme from The Exorcist, and the recording quality of this album is not particularly awesome, and so it's like broke down carny music. So depending on your feelings about like maybe clowns and carnival rides and It's a Small World, like that clip may have been traumatic for some people.
Yeah, so I think Paul Carino, I mean, I have to give him a lot of credit. He seems like the master of the medley. In this album, basically he plays three different medleys, and I think he's able to like seamlessly transition from one song to another. I mean, he blends them beautifully. I think he really does a great job, and I can imagine hearing him in person while enjoying my pizza at the organ grinder. I think it would be, you know, very pleasant because he could, you know, keep you entertained without any difficult or, you know, jarring transitions. So I have to say I really enjoyed his playing.
Yeah, I guess that would be sort of an expert quality for anybody that's playing background entertainment to have this sort of seamless ongoing quality of playing. That tells me that he probably had a lot of stamina as a musician, because as we know, this playing a Wurlitzer is going to be a super complex task. There's all kinds of parts and pieces about it. And apparently in the 1970s in the Pacific Northwest, pipes and pizza was a thing. Like, this was not the only pipe organ and pizza place. I'm trying to imagine a world where that's just a thing that you went to do. I'm really sad that it's closed now and we can't have that experience. So in 1973 is when this organ grinder pizza opened, and the owner, Dennis Hedberg, he bought the original organ from the Oriental Theater in Portland that was built in 1927. And so that organ was auctioned off, I think, in like 1970. And this Dennis Hedberg, he bought the original organ. And then after he bought the organ and opened the organ grinder, he also tried to collect every single piece of Wurlitzer that they made. So the scope of this particular organ at the restaurant must have been epic. Like, it must have been huge if it had like all of the drums, all of the pipes, all of the sound effects. I grew up in a town that had an old theater, and it had a Wurlitzer from the original organ that was there. I think it was in the 1920s, and they still have somebody come in to play it. Sometimes they'll have somebody play the Wurlitzer during an intermission of a play or something, and they also do silent films with accompaniment from the Wurlitzer, and it's really a pretty spectacular piece of equipment. And the one that is in the theater that I grew up with is pretty big, but to have all of the pieces, it must have been pretty awesome.
According to the sleeve, it said that this organ eventually went from having 13 ranks of pipes to 39 ranks of pipes, which just sounds just immense.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it would have been really impressive to visit this restaurant and see just the scale of this Wurlitzer.
Yeah, so unfortunately, it closed in 1966, and the organ was dismantled and sold in parts. So hopefully all of those...
1996, you mean?
Oh, 1996 it was closed, and the organ was dismantled and sold in parts, and hopefully all those parts got to a new home. You know, there's still places that have organs, so hopefully it maybe went to a carousel or another theater somewhere.
But it's just a shame that, I mean, he had worked very hard to collect this entire, you know, complete set of Wurlitzer parts, and, you know, it was scattered amongst, you know, different owners, but it would have been nice to see it kept together and
used somewhere. Yeah, I think so too.
But it, you know, it makes me sad.
Oh, this is the hard thing about having a podcast about records. There's like, I feel burdened with nostalgia pretty much all the time.
So to try to
Saudade.
Yeah, we'll talk more about Saudade in another episode. But to try to perk things up a little bit, maybe, I don't know. My maybe not. My clip is The Exorcist theme. And so let's take a listen. So, I mean, that was The Exorcist theme. And the thing that I think really struck me about this is that the organist for this piece, David Lee, was apparently 15 at the time that this was recorded. And I think that that's pretty proficient for a 15-year-old to be able to play, you know, the Wurlitzer with such aptitude, I guess. What did you think, Flissy?
Super creepy. It was creepy.
Yeah, I mean, it would be a little weird to be eating your pizza while listening to the theme from The Exorcist and maybe imagine somebody vomiting pea soup on you or something. But still, I think, you know.
But I agree with you. I mean, his technique seems expert. And, I mean, the fact that it was creepy, I think it shows that not beyond having simply the skill to execute playing this complex instrument, he was able to imbue it with some emotion and meaning.
Indeed. So those are our clips for today, but, you know, I'd like to talk a little bit also about the other organists. Jonas Nordwall, I think his playing was interesting because it sounds very, his playing, some of his pieces sound very much like that, inspired by the playing that you would hear in a church. And sure enough, he also played at a Methodist church. So it just sort of talking to the point that we were saying earlier about how each of these players had their own unique style and, you know, elements of their playing, I think, really came through in their biographies.
And turns out he is a classically trained musician, and he did some international travel with symphonies, and more recently he's worked as a consultant for production of electric organs to try to preserve the sound of these classic pipe organs.
And I wouldn't want to forget the last organist. It's Don Simmons. And I guess his playing, he also played at skating rinks. And I think his playing style sort of reflects that as well. And I don't know, are skating rinks even a thing anymore?
I don't know. I sure haven't been to a roller rink in a really long time.
Anyway, if they are not a thing anymore, they were a thing at one time.
That's another thing to lament. No more pizza and pipe organs and no more roller rinks.
Yeah. Anyway, this record, I would have to say it was worth about a quarter, but not much more. I mean, I'm glad that we have it, and it is definitely a conversation piece, but the recording quality is not very great. My apologies to Dennis Hedberg. He may have been a visionary in the pizza and pipe organ space, but he was not much of a recording technician. And the sound quality of this album is really not that great. And my suspicions were that he recorded it to a reel-to-reel that was not very accurate, because when they did the transfer to vinyl, I think that the timing is off. So it sounds even a little bit more creepy, I think, than it actually did, because I think of, maybe the tape transfer.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, this album has great value as a novelty piece. Like, it's just so cool that pizza and pipe organs was a thing, and it's really interesting to have this collection of pretty random and eclectic song choices and playing styles and all in place. But, you know, practically speaking, this just isn't a very good album.
Although it was apparently good enough to warrant a volume 2, which would be interesting to own, but...
Yeah, and also David Lee, who was the 15-year-old organist of the Exorcist fame, he also released a separate album of organ grinder music of his own in 1976. So that he was probably only still 17 or so at the time when that was released.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, if you want to find out more about the Organ Grinder or Wurlitzers in general, you can visit our show notes at livinginhifi.com/episode/6. And let us know what you think. Contact us on Twitter at livinginhifi, or send us your feedback to feedback@livinginhifi.com.
We'd really love to hear from you if you ever made a trip to the Organ Grinder yourself. We'd love to share that with our listeners. If you want to tell us a memory you have about visiting the Organ Grinder, that would be so cool if you could reach out to us. We do have on our show notes a commercial for the Organ Grinder, so you can see what it would have looked like on the inside.
Or hey, if you're listening to this podcast and you played at the Organ Grinder, we would love to hear from you.
That would be amazing.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.